"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
It's never been more important to diversify your financial portfolio.
Well, that's right. The S&P is down 20% from the last year, and this year looks even worse.
Gold and precious metals offer a hedge against inflation and stock market volatility. And Legacy Precious Metals is the company Ken and I trust.
Protect your retirement account by rolling it into a gold-backed IRA or have metals shipped directly to your door.
Call our friends at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or visit buylegacygold.com. Welcome. It's Friday. We got the Moix line in 2 hours now, in about 20 minutes. And we do have a hack for the dumpster. John Cobalt, of course, definitely approves this choice of hack of the week.
Yep.
And he will lead the mob into tossing this person into the dumpster.
Grab him by the scruff of his neck. Today, the Attorney General and the Los Angeles County Sheriff.
Were together?
Yes, Attorney General Rob Bonta and Alex Villanueva, side by side at a press conference. You know the recent history is Bonta has taken over that Sheila Kuehl investigation away from Villanueva. But that's not what this press conference was about, although I guess that was the interest of many of the reporters, including Steve Gregory, who was there.
Yeah, this, I guess I've become, you know, Mr. Bonta has always been very nice to me, but for some reason, keep pissing him off. And this is the second time I've made him a little upset. So
yeah, you bring
reality. Do you have audio of this?
What's that?
Do you have audio of this?
Yes.
Oh, that's what I want to hear.
Yeah. So the setup is, John's right. We were there today because the United States Postal Inspector was announcing a major bust in a mail fraud ring where they, you know, busted, I don't know, they made 50-something arrests and to the tune of $5 million in stolen checks over the last 4 years. And that's why we were there. But what caught my attention was that this is the first time the Attorney General has been shoulder to shoulder with the sheriff since he announced he was taking over that investigation from Kuehl. And I wanted to know that. And so I was kind of curious about it. And then late last night, I got a document dump on my one of my private emails. And in this document dump shows a list of campaign contributions that originate from everyone from Bonta's wife, Mia, to the attorney for Patty Giggins, and to endorsements to Sheila Kuehl and Holly Mitchell. And how they're all sort of buddies. And I was given pictures of Holly Mitchell and Mia Bonta, Rob Bonta's wife. And they're all very simpatico. And how Mia Bonta has been endorsed by Sidney Komlager, the senator. But Sidney Komlager is the wife of Patty Giggins' attorney. So you've got all this really weird sort of complicated. It's kind of one of those web of
incestuous.
Yeah, it's very. That's the word exactly. Incestuous. It's very weird.
They're all friends and married to each other and donating to each other's campaigns.
All behind the scenes, absolutely. Glad-handing. Yeah. And you know, in fact, Komlager, who is the senator, and again the wife of Patty Giggins' attorney, was publicly endorsed by Robin, Mia Bonta, Holly Mitchell, and Sheila Kuehl. So they were all in cahoots on this.
Shouldn't Bonta recuse himself from the investigation?
Well, John, bless your heart. That's the question.
That's what he tried to ask. I could be like you.
You would never get through the front door.
No.
But no, I'll tell you what I was curious about, because I reached out to the Sheriff's Department and I said, hey, how many times have you asked the Attorney General to intervene on an investigation? Because remember on this show, we talked about the document. The sheriff sent a letter to Bonta saying, hey, please investigate the leak that led to the tip that Sheila Kuehl got about that search warrant. Remember that? Mm-hmm. Via Max Huntsman. So that was the impetus for the investigation that the Sheriff's Department requested from the AG's office. Well, then the AG sent the letter back saying, well, yeah, we're going to look into that. And also, by the way, we're taking that investigation over on the Sheila Kuehl corruption and the Patty Giggins corruption thing regarding the peace over violence contracts, all of that. So what I wanted to know was, why did Bonta have interest in this case and none of the eight cases prior? Why all of a sudden this case?
The other eight cases being?
Over the years, the Sheriff's Department asked the AG's office to look into the shooting death of Andres Guardado. I see. Remember the guy that got shot in the back?
So Fina Uribe asked eight times for Bonta to take over the investigation.
To help investigate as an outside and independent agency, investigating his own people in some cases.
And this is the first time Bonta said yes.
Yes.
And it happens to be the investigation into his buddy Sheila Kuehl.
Right. In fact, one of the times that that he was asked to intervene on a case, not only did Bonta respond, but they said, we don't have the resources to investigate. And now they do? So in this cut here, I start bringing up these questions. I said, why now? And then in cut B, Dylan, cut B, this is Rob Bonta responding to my question, why now after eight cases? Why this one?
It was an investigation that was requested by Sheriff Villanueva and his team. They reached out to us to be involved in two aspects. One, specifically the allegations of a tip or being tipped off about a search warrant being served, and then specifically also about the underlying public corruption. We believe that they're inextricably intertwined, that you can't disentangle them. And so at the request of the Sheriff's Office, we decided to take on both cases, and we have, and that's made public.
That's not true. The Sheriff's Department asked them to take on only the one part of the case, and that was the case of the tip. Mm-hmm. The second part of the case was the one where the sheriff recused himself, and that's the investigation into Kuehl. But Bonta decided to take that case over.
He says they're intertwined.
Yeah, right, in the public interest.
Right. So he's lying there.
Well, it's not the truth, let's put it that way. So here in cut A, I start to ask him questions about these intertwined people behind the scenes and the thousands of dollars in campaign donations back and forth and back and forth. And I employed the trick that I learned many years ago where I purposely kind of screw things up and just see where it takes us. And then typically it ends in them telling me everything I need to know. And this is cut A.
Wait a second. You said that there were donations given to the attorney. That is not true. That there was endorsements given to the attorney. That is not true. So let's be clear. Let's be specific. Senator Kamlager was a colleague of mine. I served with her. She's a colleague right now of my assembly member, Mia Bonta, my wife. So there may have been legislation we worked on together. We know each other. We serve together. We serve the people of California together. On the political side, there may have been endorsements. I don't think that's a conflict.
So you got him to admit all the conflicts he has.
Yeah, so he took the bait.
Steve Gregory went to a press conference today that was supposed to be about a mail fraud case, the Attorney General Rob Bonta and L.A. County Sheriff Alex Villanueva, but it turned into more questioning about the Sheila Kuehl investigation and Rob Bonta taking over that investigation, and then the mysterious web of endorsements and donations involving Bonta and Bonta's wife and Sheila Kuehl's best friend, Patty Giggins.
There's Bonta's wife along with Giggins' attorney.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm showing pictures to John right now that were sent to me, but I got documents, all kinds of documents here.
Yeah. Do you know who sent them to you? Or?
I have no idea. It comes from an anonymous, it's one of those burner email accounts.
Yes.
Yeah, so I get it from that. And then you know, the thing is, then I have to spend, it screws me up. I had my whole day planned out, and then this stuff happens. Then I got to spend the morning verifying, blah, blah, blah. So, listen to me complaining.
This is good stuff,
I'm
though.
Getting grumpier than you. So now, when we left, I was talking about the fact that, you know, all this, as you say, incestuous behavior on the part of these elected officials. And we're talking about Sidney Comlager. And Sidney Comlager is the wife of Austin Dove. Austin Dove is Patty Giggins' attorney. And you know, there's this connection now where there's people donating to each other. And you heard Attorney General Bonta sort of justify by saying, yeah, we're, you know, I've helped before, but it's not a conflict of interest. So here in cut C, you know, I asked the question about public trust, because in his speech about this mail fraud press conference that we were actually there for, the reason we were there, he talks about the public's trust in having to trust law enforcement. So here in cut C, I ask him about the public trust.
We thought, based on the public interest and the important public trust issues related here, that we should get involved. And again, it was at the request of the sheriff's office, and we've accepted.
And again, that's not true. Only one part of that is true. The sheriff requested only one of the two cases be investigated by the attorney general. So then here in cut D, you hear the question and the answer, because it was characterized that the attorney general ripped the case. I mean, the Times described it as sort of a AG swoops in.
Like a hostile takeover.
Yeah, hostile takeover the case. And so here in cut D, I asked the question.
So it was characterized that your office grabbed the case away from the sheriff's office. Would you have any problems with the feds grabbing the case away from you?
I can only talk about what we do. We had a request to take the case. We took it. We have it. We exercised our authority under the law. It was a request, an expression to us, asking us to do it. We received that request and decided to do it. And whatever others want to do, they can do. I can't help what they do. I can only control what I do.
Sounds kind of prissy, doesn't he? I can only control what I do.
And he keeps saying, at a request of the sheriff's department, he's lumping these two things in, and they're not connected that way. And that's the thing he keeps falling back on.
Right.
Well, they're just two separate cases.
You repeat the lie over and over again, and people lose track of the truth.
And finally, Leo Stallworth over at ABC7, good guy, and you know, he finally asks the sheriff, because the sheriff's just kind of standing over there by himself, and he finally asks the sheriff, hey, sheriff, would you like to come up and respond to everything that's being said? So the sheriff comes up, and you know, and he's really professional about it. He says, you know, the attorney general is doing what he's got to do, and this, that, and the other. But then I ask the question, well, wait a minute. You just heard him say, you know, that basically this case with Sheila Kuehl takes priority over the other eight requests that you've made. So basically the sheriff responded by saying, no, I don't agree with that. I do not agree with the assessment that that was a priority case. And then I asked him, I said, well, do you think you're going to get a fair shot with the attorney general? And he says, I hope and pray that we do. And he says, I think, you know, we're just going to let the process basically take its course. So it was one of those things where right when that was done, the AG just beelined for the door. I mean, just bolted to the door. Everyone else kind of hung out for a little Q&A stuff. But at the end of that, the federal public affairs officer, you could tell everybody else that was there for the press conference, the reason we were there, they were like mortified because they didn't see any of this coming. And this public affairs person's from Washington, D.C., she had no idea what she was getting into.
They wanted to celebrate their mail fraud
right.
investigation.
And I actually went up to her afterwards and said, I apologize if we, you know, if we hijacked your press conference, but I said, you just put oil and water together at the same lectern. And I said, she goes, someone did tell me something about that. I said, well, they didn't brief you very well. You should have known this was coming. And I didn't know if Bonta was going to be briefed on it or not, because this is the first time they appeared together at the same location. So it was important. So if you look back at this again, when I talk about why the sheriff's department hadn't been getting responses from the attorney general's office, I was reaching out to all my sources also in the on the state level, and I was told by a source that knows what's going on, high, you know, kind of like with knowledge of the situation, that this is not a priority case for the attorney general's office, and you're going to see. You know, with the election just around the corner, I doubt that you're going to see any action on this at all. on the Sheila Kuehl situation. And if for some reason Sheriff Villanueva is not reelected, you're going to see this and every other request probably fade away.
So Kuehl is going to be protected by her political buddies.
I can only tell you what's being told to me by people inside, and they're telling me now that she's very well insulated. Again, I'm looking at documents here.
Because
show...
just to remind people, you know, she's suspected of helping to steer $800,000 worth of city contracts to her best friend in the whole world, Patty Giggins, for a sex harassment, sex abuse hotline that really wasn't used very much.
No. And, you know, and then part of the paperwork I got here, too, was the Sheila Kuehl's donation of $1,500 to the Bob Luna campaign. You know, so yeah. they're already making their investments.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, you know, you look at this Sydney Comlager for Congress. Or, yeah, that's the one. Yeah, when she was running for Congress. I mean, look at that. Look at the pictures of everyone that's on the website for Sydney Comlager back then.
It's Karen Bass.
Karen Bass, Adam Schiff, Sheila Kuehl, Holly Mitchell.
Yeah.
Alex Padilla.
All the horrible people that are destroying L.A. County.
So,
It's like the mafia, isn't it?
Well, all I can tell you is that, you know, Attorney General Bonta, he says that his office is going to, there's no conflict of interest.
There's a lot of conflict of interest.
And the thing is that, well, if the feds were to come in and do their own investigation, what would happen then? I don't know.
Yeah, will they do that? Or because Bonta took it, they're gone, you know?
You know, I don't know. I think the Sheriff's Department can request from any agency, just like anybody else. But the feds, it's probably not in the feds' best interest to take this case because they're probably going to look at that as just a backyard squabble at best. You know, they don't want to get involved in local politics.
Well, right, they went after Ridley Thomas, so.
Yeah, they've got their hands full with that one already. Yeah, and let me tell you, you know, as a result of that one, you know, there are other things are going to come from that. So.
Yeah, we're waiting for that.
All right, Steve. Very good.
Take everybody down. All right, Steve.
Have a great
thanks.
Weekend, guys.
The El Segundo Times, along with the UC Berkeley's Institute of Governmental Studies. They've been doing a lot of polls lately. Anyway, this is on the ban of the sale of new gasoline-powered cars and trucks by 2035 in the state of California. And as usual, it has the same idiot divide from the respondents. The respondents are allegedly voters. What that means, I don't know. 55% of registered voters favor Newsom's mandate, the CARB mandate. 39% oppose it, but when you look further down in the poll, no wonder the headline is, it may be a tough thing to achieve. Most people have no plans to buy an electric vehicle anytime soon.
It's fine for somebody else.
Exactly right.
I'm going to keep my gas-powered car, but yeah, a mandate for everybody else is a really good idea. I tell you, the progressives are just impossibly phony.
This is the usual feel-good thing. I know we should be doing something for climate change. That's a good idea. Oh, me? No. Only 20% say they're likely to go all electric the next time they shop for a new car or truck. That's it.
20%?
20%.
It's probably not even that, because I think the sales rate this year was 5%.
So yeah, it's usually in the single digits.
Yeah, I don't think sales...
And by the way, California leads the country, though.
Yeah, I know. The rest of the country is like 1%.
They're not buying these.
No, because for all the reasons that we know. And what this really is a test of is just how ignorant much of the public is. A real question, which a rag like the LA Times would never put in their polling system, and certainly Berkeley wouldn't, is why don't you tell them we don't have an electrical grid to sustain this? That we have hardly any charging stations for you to stop and recharge. That they really don't exist in any meaningful numbers. Now let's see how you feel. Are you gonna buy a car which you can't afford? Most people can't afford electric cars. There are few charging stations. And if there were charging stations and everybody plugged in at the same time, the whole state would go dark. And we're like a million miles and trillions of dollars away from an electrical grid that would be able to sustain 30 million electrical cars. Then let's see what your support is. Because what they think they're supporting here basically is a fantasy world.
Yeah, well, as usual, these things come from the elites, and they get carried on by the elites, and the Times writes their articles for the elites.
But it's
then they hit the real world every now and then with a poll like this, because they talked to people who had really low income levels, and they found no chance am I buying an electric car. It starts with the cost, and then it continues with what you just said, limited range, and not enough stations, and they just have too much range anxiety.
It's the power of propaganda, because, you know, as you know, there's a significant number of Republicans who think that there was actual election fraud in 2020 to the point where it cost Trump the election, that he should have won, Biden should have lost. And because that story has been repeated so many times by Trump, among other people, there's a significant percentage that believe it. Well, same here. There's a significant percentage of people who have heard over and over again that if we switch to electric cars here in California, it's somehow going to have a magical effect on the worldwide atmosphere, which is completely false.
It's
total
nonsense.
Right. But they hear it and they believe it, and then they want to do the right thing. And you see how the propaganda feedback loop works. Then the Times, after saturating everyone's brains with this phony news about how electric cars are going to solve global warming, then you ask them a poll. Oh, would you be interested in solving global warming by buying an electric car? Oh, I heard about this. I heard about global warming. Now we're all going to die. And yes, absolutely, I would buy an electric car. Yes, yes, I want to do the right thing. I want to be a good citizen. They've been primed. Their brain has been preloaded with nonsense. So it's a trick. It's like a magician's trick. You know, you give your target. Let's say you're a magician. You do hypnosis. What you do is prime a person's brain and get them very receptive to certain kinds of ideas and thoughts, so that when you hypnotize them, then they'll bark like a dog or cluck like a chicken or whatever the trick is. And it's about priming the brain and then readying the brain for the response you want. And that's what you have here. It's a magic trick.
Yeah, the Times has its usual chart along ideological lines. Well, the strongly liberal definitely support the mandate and plan to buy an electric vehicle. But as you move into the moderate and conservative end of this, there's definite opposition. Fewer than 1 in 10 people who describe themselves conservative said they would buy an EV. 10%. But four times as many liberals said that they will. They will.
No, they won't.
And of course, there's also divided by income.
Yeah. What are all the poor and middle-class people going to do? Where are they getting the 70,000? Where's that coming from?
Yeah. The thing they're claiming in this story, they talked to a woman from the automotive industry, is that they're going to be introducing a lot more electric models into the state in the next few years. More than 100 new EV models will be introduced over the next few years, and a lot of them will be more affordable. That's what she says.
More affordable. What does that mean? They got a long way to go to make them affordable, especially with a recession coming.
Well, they're claiming in the story the average EV is $60,000. That is expensive for most people in the state.
Yeah.
Whether or not that's going to come down to like $30,000, I don't know.
And where are they going to charge it on trips? Those slow chargers that get you 9 miles in an hour?
Yeah, there's a lot that has to be done.
Yeah, and it's not going to be done anytime soon. Remember, they've had 14 years, going on 15 years, building high-speed rail, and we don't have even 6 inches of high-speed rail. So where's the millions of chargers going to be? When are they going to be installed?
I like this automotive market analyst at Edmunds that they talked to, Jessica Caldwell. I like her quote. You know, it's hard to envision what the future looks like from 2022. Basically saying, I have no idea.
Yeah, because
it's only 13 years away, the mandate, and who knows what's going to happen.
Because anybody honest looks at this and says, well, this will never happen anytime soon. And it's like the driverless cars that we told you about last hour. That industry burned $100 billion, and they have cars that can't make a left turn and can't run right on a cloudy day.
And that's what the head of Toyota said. Remember we quoted him earlier this week? He told Fox News, or told some reporter, that everybody thought that we were going to have automated cars by now. We don't.
Okay.
But see how that slowed down.
How much money do you think the executives at all these driverless car companies made as they got $100 billion in seed money from venture capitalists? How much did they keep for themselves, you know, as executive vice president in charge of innovation? So they fed the hype, because the more they fed the hype, the more these venture capitalists clambered over each other with cash to burn. So they made out really, it is cool to hype a technology, because everybody wants to believe in the future and everybody wants to invest in the future. So you just, you make this like a whirlwind of excitement. It's like, oh, wow, it's going to be driverless cars everywhere. Come on, you got to give me your $10 million now. Give me your $100 million right now. They got $100 billion of investment for nothing. Same thing with these green energy companies. Because there's so much government money now. You've got Biden willing to spend tens of billions, hundreds of billions of dollars on green energy research. Well, every scam artist in the world is going to say, I've got a green energy solution here. I have an invention. I have a way to mainstream this. And they're going to make themselves filthy rich, just like the driverless car crowd did.
They have arrested the younger brother of the man who was accused of killing that family in Merced. It was a big story this week. We spent a lot of time on it yesterday. A employee of a trucking company up in the Merced area in the San Joaquin Valley apparently kidnapped family members. It was a husband, a wife, an eight-month-old girl, and an uncle. And he eventually killed them all. Their bodies were found. The eight-month-old was just left to die. And I haven't heard yet whether he shot them or what. But the name of the main suspect in the case, his brother now, has been arrested. The lead suspect is Jesus Manuel Salgado. And officials announced the arrest of Alberto Salgado, his younger brother. Conspiracy, accessory, and destroying evidence. So if you might wonder how one guy got the drop on four people, including two male adults, it's probably because there was another person involved. And it looks like that's the brother. We don't have all the details on the brother's exact involvement. The lead suspect previously drove a truck for the family and had been fired. And we told you yesterday that back in 2005, he kidnapped another family, but he didn't kill them. He just warned them, if you go to the police, I will kill you. Well, they did go to the police. He went to prison for like 10 years. And I think that's the main reason he killed this family, realizing that that could happen again.
Oh, he wasn't
if I let them live.
Yeah, he wasn't going to. And often that's what these guys do. They don't leave witnesses behind. They don't leave victims behind. You know, so often, you know, burglars will kill the people in the house. Rapists will kill the woman that they raped. You know, if they think there's a chance that this is going to be a living witness who's going to rat them out, then yeah, might as well kill them.
Yeah.
You know, and if they've got the right
lesson
level
in California's horrible criminal justice, that this guy, oh, because he didn't kill that family back in 2005, he got a really short sentence and he finished out his parole. And here he is. He gets hired again to work for another trucking company, and he's bitter, and he wants to rob them, which is apparently what he did. It's not really clear what he took from the family, but he led them away in a kidnapping from the home and eventually killed them and left the baby daughter to die. It's just hard to believe that someone would do something deranged as this.
Except he did, you know, three quarters of that, you know, 15 years ago. So we knew he was capable of doing it.
That's
he
true.
Just stopped short of murdering everybody on the way out the door. But because he got caught, that taught him a lesson. So he repeated the same crime. And I think it would be obvious that this time he would probably kill people. That's why you never let him out. You have to think ahead. You have to project with these people.
And what always amazes me in the year 2022 about these people, they don't realize how much surveillance there is now. There was so much video surveillance that showed this guy walking the family out of the home.
They're too crazy.
And even though he was kind of covered, it wasn't hard to figure out that this is an employee who just got fired. I mean, all you got to do is do a little investigating.
Yeah.
Then you look back and you're like, all right, so there's a guy who used to work for the company. He got fired. What's his name? Look him up. Oh, in 2005, he was charged with kidnapping a family? Well, what do you know? I think that's who we're looking for.
Yeah, but people with these weird violent compulsions, they don't think like that. I mean, their brain, you know, repeats those thoughts over and over again, the compulsion over and over again. That blocks out anything else.
He thought enough, though, to kill the family so they wouldn't be witnesses against him without realizing there's all sorts of surveillance video about him that would make it easy to find him, and they did. All right, coming up next, we'll be talking to a writer for L.A. Magazine named Sam Canonis, and his story is Skid Row Nation, how L.A.'s homelessness crisis has spread across the country.
Pretty chilling.
And it encapsulates a lot of what we've talked about, the idiot activists and their housing first has become, and of course, it's the city of Los Angeles and their lax enforcement, and they're capitulating and agreeing to all these lawsuit settlements has really turned not just Skid Row, but it's gotten worse. The woman he interviewed in this article said in the last 10 years, it's really gotten crazy there.
Yeah.
It's coming up on the Johnny Kent Show, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Deborah Mark live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom. It's never been more important to diversify your financial portfolio.
Well, that's right. The S&P is down 20% from the last year, and this year looks even worse.
Gold and precious metals offer a hedge against inflation and stock market volatility. And Legacy Precious Metals is the company Ken and I trust.
Protect your retirement account by rolling it into a gold-backed IRA or have metals shipped directly to your door.
Call our friends at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or visit buylegacygold.com.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, and Two Door Cinema Club.